This strategy of upfront contracting calls for the salesperson and the prospect to agree in advance about what will take place at a subsequent meeting, which could be a face-to-face meeting or a scheduled phone conversation. Again, for an upfront contract to be effective, it must be formulated in advance of the event it describes. Then, it's both a control element to keep the meeting on track and also the benchmark by which to measure the effectiveness of the meeting after the fact. It will also provide predictability to the meeting. But to achieve all this, it must include all the elements that influence the interaction. Let's look closely into what those elements are.
Certainly, each interaction with a prospect should have a purpose, a specific objective. That objective might be pain finding, maybe to discuss financial issues, or it could be to make a presentation and obtain a decision. Whatever the purpose of the meeting, it should be explicitly expressed. Each party's agenda for the meeting has to be stated. This is really two elements because the agenda of the salesperson is one element and the agenda of the prospect is the other. If, for instance, you expect the prospect to paint you a picture of his company's situation, then you must express that wish and obtain your prospect's agreement. Likewise, if your agenda is to ask the prospect questions and gather information, you have to be sure that the prospect is willing to participate. If your prospect will have to do some preparation in order to fulfill the agenda you describe, that fact should also be discussed and you should get that prospect's agreement. You also have to ask what the prospect is expecting or wants to happen at this meeting. By explicitly describing and agreeing to the responsibilities of each party in order to reach the meeting's objectives, the chances of unfulfilled expectations by either party is substantially reduced. Time is another essential element for the upfront contract. When and for how long must be clearly expressed. If, for instance, you're meeting with your prospect for 1 hour on Tuesday morning at 10:30, then those elements must be explicitly stated and acknowledged by your prospect. The possible outcomes of the meeting should also be part of the upfront contract. And typically, this element is a decision to end the process or to move forward. If it is to move forward, a brief description of what is meant by moving forward should be included. In an upfront contract for a formal presentation, the decision element of the contract would describe the buying decision the salesperson intends to obtain. Obviously, no would stop the process. Yes, on the other hand, would move the process forward to a letter of intent, a purchase order, or perhaps a check. Whatever action a yes might represent should be included in your upfront contract.
So, a strong upfront contract will include a description of the objective for the meeting, the prospect's and the salesperson's agendas for the meeting, the time elements of the meeting, and the decision that's to be reached by the end of the meeting. In other words, the main purpose of an upfront contract is to help the salesperson manage the prospect's expectations. To give you further insight into how to engage in upfront contracting, listen to this Sandler trainer.
What are the things that I want you to talk about with the prospect upfront? One is how much time. Second thing I want you to cover is what are their expectations. Then I want you to tell them your expectations. Then I want you to talk about potential outcomes, right? Then I want you to also relieve tension, lower anxiety, do something that's counterintuitive, because if you want to be treated differently, you must act differently. Listen, you have complained for 2 days how the competition beats you down because that's the business that we're in. If you want to be treated differently, I want you to act differently. Do you think your competitors are walking in saying, hey, listen, at the end of today's meeting, we may decide there's not a fit? No, they're not, right? They're doing the shove through. So I want you to go in and lower that anxiety by saying it may not be a fit.
A strong upfront contract does the following. It gives both the prospect and the salesperson the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Prospect, let's set some ground rules for our meeting. I'd like to have the opportunity to ask some questions about your business, and I'd also like for you to ask me anything you'd like about my product or service. Is that okay with you? A strong upfront contract gives both the prospect and the salesperson the opportunity to say no if there isn't a fit. As we ask and answer each other's questions, we may decide there isn't a fit between what you need and my product or service. We may decide it just doesn't make sense to spend any more time together. If we reach that point, are you comfortable telling me that? A strong upfront contract gives the prospect the opportunity to say yes if there is a fit. On the other hand, if you see that my product or service makes sense to you, we can decide to move forward, okay? A strong upfront contract provides that each sales call has an end result. That end result is to either move forward or end the process. You must be able to come away from every meeting with a clear, concise, verbal agreement as to what happens next, either to keep moving in your selling process if you're on a one-call close, or to be invited back for another meeting, knowing exactly the purpose of that meeting if you're in a multiple-call sales cycle. And when we're done here today, we can set up the ground rules as to how you and I will proceed, okay? A strong upfront contract allows for enough time. Have you ever been on a sales call where there's an instant bonding with your prospect? You know, you talk about everything but business, and suddenly the prospect says, "Okay, what are you selling? I don't want to rush you, but you have about 10 minutes left." You didn't establish a clear understanding as to how much time was allocated for your sales call. This can be accomplished by asking, "Bill, how much time have you set aside for this meeting? Your time's valuable, so's mine, and I just want to make sure that we don't waste a minute." A strong upfront contract makes sure there are no interruptions. This is an area where prospects make salespeople feel 2 feet tall and take total control of the selling process. You know, your call's moving smoothly, your prospect's focused on his problems, and out of the blue, the phone rings, and his secretary puts through a call right in the middle of your interview. The pattern's broken. You're heading down the wrong track, and you can't get back. This could have been avoided by dealing with potential interruptions up front. Bill, let me ask you this. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there have been times when, right in the middle of an important issue, the phone will ring or people will start coming in and out of the office, and this can be really distracting. Can we make sure that that won't happen during our visit? This is a good time to bring in David Sandler, as he explains why this is very important.
As I've been talking about, that you have some rights, and if you really have a product or service that is going to be of benefit to this individual, then you have to face this individual on an adult-adult level and not go in as a subservient level. I've seen salespeople make calls where they'll wimp back in a corner, or the prospect will sit there and take phone calls while you're in front of them, get up and walk out of the room, do paperwork, and I can never understand why the salesperson, and remember we're talking about the difference between being assertive and aggressive. An aggressive person says, "Look, if you don't stop taking those phone calls, I'm getting out of here." And you are out of there, right? Because he's not going to put up with that. But there's an assertive way to say it, and especially using our material, the dummy curve and the reverse negative sell, is on that particular kind of a situation is just to lay back and assert your rights in a non-threatening way. In that particular scenario, it could be as simple as, "Can I ask you a question, Mr. Smith? I expect to be here maybe 20 or 25 minutes, assuming we have anything of interest to you. I just have to ask you a question. I really don't want you to get uncomfortable. Is this going to go on for the whole 25 minutes?" Now, I have asserted myself. I've faced him with the situation picking up this phone. My self-esteem is protected, and whichever direction he takes. Now, if he's got his act together, he'll realize, and it'll come to light, that he's certainly not being polite, that he's certainly not having a relationship with another person that is based on common ground, and he'll catch himself. And say, "Oh, gee, I didn't know that bothered you," or, "I do that all the time," and he'll get on with it, or he'll get angry. And it doesn't make any difference to us which way he goes, because we have the techniques to handle either way. The non-gutsy way to handle that situation is to sit there and take it. And I have always said, one of the reasons for this whole course, that I am more worried not about your getting an order, but about how you feel about yourself when you get back to your car. I'm worried about what's between your ears. And when you get in that car, if you say, "Idiot, dummy or whatever the third party voice is that calls you, whatever you think that you are in that situation. That bothers me because that's going to make you less effective on the next call. So when you're in front of these people, I'm looking for you to be assertive, non-threatening, but to assert your rights and call on these people when you're in a situation that makes you uncomfortable.
A strong upfront contract establishes an agenda for the meeting. In order to make any meeting productive, you need an agenda. Here's a simple rule to follow. Never go to a meeting, whether formal or informal, without an agenda, and always get that agenda for the meeting agreed to upfront. A colleague asks, "Hey Bill, can I talk to you for a minute?" And you respond, okay, about what?" This technique will help you manage your time productively. When in front of a prospect, find out what they would like to see covered, what's important to them, and where they're hurting. "Bill, what are some of the things you'd like to accomplish today?" "Bill, when we were on the phone, I asked you to write down 5 of the biggest problems you're having. Can you share some of those with me?" "Bill, I've been in sales a long time, and I have a lot of clients. I've found that there are no accidents. I believe that there's a reason that we're talking right now. What motivated you to invite me in?" Write down your prospect's responses. It shows you care about his problem. Here's an example of uncovering the prospect's agenda that's based on the assumption that you've been invited in by the prospect and didn't beg for the appointment. "Thanks for inviting me in, Bill. Before I got here today, you probably looked at your calendar, you saw I was coming in at 2, and you said, 'Hey, there are some things I'd really like to ask Steve and make sure that we talk about during our meeting. Can you tell me what you're hoping to accomplish in the time we're together today?'" And of course, the last thing Bill did was prepare for your appointment. After all, how many prospects bone up before a salesperson shows up for the appointment? Now would be a good time to rescue your prospect and make him feel okay. A strong message to send to your prospect very early on in the meeting is that you want to understand his problems, his pains, from his point of view. Harvard Business Review, in fact, conducted a survey of business owners which asked, "What's the biggest fear you have in hiring outside consultants?" The number one response was, you guessed it, that the consultant wouldn't understand their business. You want to get the prospect's permission to ask him questions so that you can really understand his business, his situation. "Bill, I'd like to ask you some questions to make sure that I can understand your business and to make sure I understand your particular concerns. Is that okay?" A strong upfront contract requires that a decision be made at each intermediate meeting. At the end of your sales call, you're either going to get a yes or a no. If you're in a long selling cycle, this is where you outline your selling cycle to the prospect. Now, even though you may make multiple sales calls on this prospect, a decision to move to the next step is made at the end of each call. It doesn't necessarily have to be a decision to buy your product or service, but it's a mutual decision to proceed to the next step in the selling process. "Okay, Bill, let's review where we are. We both agreed to A, B, and C, and you're comfortable with that, right? Well, the next step is for me to come in and show you X, Y, and Z. And if those items meet the criteria you've specified, then we go to the next step, which is, you fill in the blank here. Is that a fair assessment of where we are? And you're comfortable we're moving at the right pace?" Now, in the real world, your contract wouldn't sound as mechanical and rigid as that, but use it as a template and mold the words to fit each specific selling situation. Listen for the elements of an upfront contract as two Sandler trainers role play.
"Bill, thanks for inviting me in today. I appreciate it. When we spoke on the phone, we agreed that we would take no more than an hour together. Is that still okay?"
"Well, yeah, that's what I have on my calendar."
"Great. Do you think we'll have the whole hour uninterrupted?"
"Well, we should. I've asked to have all my calls transferred over to voicemail."
"Good, good. That'll help us stay focused. Before we get started, what is it that you'd really like to accomplish during our time together today?"
"Well, I'd like to know what kind of products you have that might be able to help us, perhaps some specs on your environmental control valves. Also like to know about your pricing and maybe how long your company's been in business."
"Makes sense. Anything else?"
"No, that should just about cover it."
"Bill, it's important that I feel that I give you the right information. For me to do that, It's really vital that I understand your particular situation. So is it okay if I ask you some questions to make sure that's what happens?
Of course, yeah, that'd be fine.
Great. And once I've asked you some questions and you've asked me some questions, I think one of two things is going to happen. We're going to decide that we have a fit or that we don't have a fit. If for any reason you don't feel that my products can help you, are you going to be okay telling me no?
Of course, I'll tell you no if I don't think it can help me.
I appreciate that. And you're not going to get mad at me if I can't help you?
Well, no, if you can't help me, I'd sure like to have you tell me that.
Good. Oh, one more thing. You seem like a nice person, Bill. And what sometimes happens is that you might want to tell me no, but you don't want to hurt my feelings. So you tell me that you want to think it over when you really mean no. You wouldn't do that to me, would you?
Not that nice. I can tell you no without any problem.
That's good. Of course, if there is a fit, we can figure out together what the next step would be. And if that's okay, we can get started.